Welcome to the KHNS Haynesboro Assembly Candidate Forum. I'm KHNS News Director Emily Files, and this is reporter Abby Collins. Thank you all for being here. We're joined by Assembly candidates Ryan Cook, Leonard Dubber, Judy Erickson, Diana Lapham, Heather Lendy, and Tom Morfitt. It's a six-way race for two open seats on the Assembly. We're going to try and keep the forum under an hour and a half. We have a lot of questions and a lot of candidates, so to respect everyone's time, please keep your answers as concise as possible. We don't have strict time limits. We received lots of questions from residents, so we will be holding up a sign that says wrap it up if things start to go on a little bit too long. All right, let's get started. Please introduce yourself and tell us what you hope to accomplish in your three-year term if elected to the Assembly. Let's start with Tom.
My name's Tom Morfitt. I've been a journalist here for 30 years, and I own the newspaper. There's four things I hope to accomplish if I'm elected. I want us to get us working together. I'd like to see us keep issues in perspective. I'd like to make the town more supportive of young families, and I'd also support kind of a wiser approach to spending. And if we can attack or accomplish those four things, I'd be satisfied. Thank you.
Diana?
My name is Diana Lapham, 28-year resident of Haynes, owner of two businesses, past owner of two businesses. I have running for re-election. What I would like to accomplish is to see through the LUTAC dock, the wastewater treatment plant, and we're also going into a very trying time with state budgeting, and I would like to be able to hopefully get in on the ground floor as to how that's going to play out here in the municipality. I don't know if we're going to have to cut or what we're going to have to cut. Thank you.
Thanks. Ryan?
Hello, my name is Ryan Cook. I was born and raised here in Haynes, graduated in 1997 from Haynes High School. I would like to help accomplish just the boat harbor to get done, a bigger and better working waterfront for the tourism and the commercial fishermen and the sport fishermen, also the LUTAC dock, the infrastructure of Haynes. I've grown up here and seen a lot of stuff getting neglected. The sewer treatment plant, one of them. I'm glad to hear that they're getting money for that. And also to try to get more jobs for the younger people to stick around town and raise their families. Thank you.
Heather?
I'm Heather Lindy, and I'm an author. I've written three books, and I'm a columnist, and I write the obituaries for the Chilkat Valley News. And along with my husband, we have owned LUTAC Lumber now for 30 years. I have five children, and two of them live in Haynes, and I have four grandchildren in Haynes, so I kind of have a vested interest in our future and young families here. I think, I suppose if I had a goal for my term on the Assembly, it would be perhaps less specific than what I've heard other people say, and I guess I would just like us to see the local government be more responsive to the people. And I've been thinking about how to do that, and I think what I would do with everything that came before me is pretty much ask three questions, and that would be, do people want it, and can we afford it, and is it good for the people? And if it met those three criteria, I think I would be for it. So I'd like to see that. I'd like the meetings to be more friendly, and I'd like people to be more comfortable with sharing ideas or even having complaints with the borough government.
Leonard?
Yeah, I'm Leonard Dubber, and with my wife, we have the Moosehorn Laundry, and I've been in business here since we got here, and 2001, both with the trailer court and heating, and then we started the laundromat. And what I would like to accomplish most would be that the process of open government be followed, that there not be any times at which people get thinking that it's expedient to pass it without listening to all the citizens, and that all the information should come forward before there's a vote.
Judy?
Hello, my name's Judy Erickson. I've lived here for 26 years. My first job was a tour bus driver, and then I became the business manager here at KHNS for a total of 10 years with the break in there, and now I'm the business manager of the Haynesboro School District since 2009, and I want to bring my budget and money skills to the Borough Assembly. I feel I can get in any information on the budget. I have experience trying to set priorities on a budget if you have to cut. I know the cost of things. And like Heather, just have that open dialogue. I mean, I like to listen to everybody. That's how I make my decisions. I want to get all sides to make a decision and enjoy the collaborative process. We've gone through that at the school just in the last year. Our admin team gets together, and it just has made such a big difference instead of having these people doing one thing and others, and just getting everybody on the same page, whether you agree or not, it still works out. So I just want to maintain the quality of life that we have here in Haynes and work for you.
Thank you. So this is an unusually large number of candidates running for assembly this year. So could each of you talk about a specific decision by the assembly or issue that has come up at assembly meetings that motivated you to run? Judy, let's start with you.
Well, I think it's not a specific decision, but just reading about the tone and stuff of the meetings and people being disgruntled I'm on the Public Safety Commission, so we've dealt with that. I know there's been issues with the police department, and I guess it was just to spend money on all these surveys and stuff. Those decisions have kind of, it kind of gets my attention when they spend over $200,000 on surveys and studies and stuff, and then don't really use them. I don't see them using it. So, I mean, I'm like that at school. If we spend the money, we need to use it and follow through.
Leonard?
The thing that really motivated me to begin with was a small offenses ordinance and how it took so much to get that on the table. It took a petition with 650 signatures before the assembly would really listen. And that's just not satisfactory government. We started out with a full-page ad in the paper, and that didn't do any good. And so that was a start. But other things, you know, the excessive studies, the large amount of a city employees we have, there's so many things that I can think of that seem over the top for a small town like Haynes.
Heather?
There was one moment when I was at the meeting where the preschool people were speaking to the assembly, having answered all their questions, including a cost-benefit analysis and how much it would cost and a whole long list of things that they had to answer before the assembly would approve them sort of joining forces with the senior center and combining that for a preschool. And it was wonderful because all the public was there to say good things about the preschool, and they'd answered all the questions, and they were all excited. And at the assembly level, everybody kind of looked at each other, and they said, well, I guess we're going to have to let them do it because they've answered all the questions. And, you know, everyone in the room sort of wanted to clap, but then we're looking at the assembly thinking, well, maybe we shouldn't because I don't think they are happy with this. And I thought, oh, come on. I mean, you did a great thing. At least smile, you know? And so that, to me, that was when I thought, maybe I could help with this because they did the right thing. But even then, you didn't feel good when you left the room. And I thought, what's with that? And the other, I suppose the other thing that has frustrated me on the Planning Commission level and just as a citizen are, and it's nothing personal at all against these people, but that the Assembly now has twice hired managers, and we're a manager form of government, that have no municipal experience. And so that's hard. It's sometimes hard to work with people that might not be able to answer your questions. And I think we need to be more thoughtful in our hires.
Ryan?
I also agree with Heather on the thoughtful about the hires. There's people that have been hired that have to get tutors to show them how to do their job. So that's pretty, I don't see how that works when you get paid so much to do your, get hired to do your job. Also, I've had a few different meetings, Planning Commission meetings, finance meetings, a couple, and some of them just the order, the communication level seems not there. I don't know, it could be getting a little better, but this is a year ago or so, one of them that I was at, they're talking about, and they didn't even know what the Assembly or anything had talked about, the same question that they had been talking about that night. And the manager then was Sosa, and he stood up and it said the same thing, like the communication between like the Planning Commission and the Assembly, or the Planning Commission and the office and everything, just to get everybody communicating, just wasn't there. And I think that needs to be, that's a big thing, communication, especially between the Planning Commission and the Assembly, when the Planning Commission should be running, they're looking at all these issues that is going on, and they don't even have anything in front of them. Also, the just the way things are ran, it's time for change.
Diana?
About a year ago, when Mr. Sosa was our manager, we were going through the trials and tribulations of what we were going to do with the Chilkat Valley Preschool. We wanted them out of that building. That building really is not a safe environment for children or adults with the asbestos and so on and so forth in it. Much dialogue, back and forth. And I'm not one that easily shuts down when I go home at night. So it was a Friday night after a very long, long meeting about this in committee. And I woke up Saturday morning, I had a lightning bolt strike me. I called our mayor, Jan Hill, and I said, I need to ask you if we can do this, can I meet you in your office? And she said, yeah, come on, we'll go down. And as we're talking, Mr. Sosa walked in, and my idea was, why not combine the Chilkat Valley Preschool and the senior citizens in the same building? He got on the phone to Brad Ryan. Brad said, why not? And I don't claim to fame the entire idea. I claim to fame the concept. And what I'm trying to prove here is that's what we're going to have to do in the future. We're going to have to work collaboratively with each other. The borough is going to become less and less of a what I call a deep pocket. Funds are going to be shorting up, dwindling, and we may not be able to afford to have these programs, but with the public's ideas, with the Assembly's ideas working together, I think we can come up with a solution. We just have to go in a different way. We won't have the money. We need to pool our ideas together.
Tom?
Diana, thanks for touching on the preschool. The Borough Assembly's decision to evict the preschool from the Human Resources Building against the wishes of the majority of the board on the preschool was one of the issues that kind of started to fire me up. I think it's great that this effort is underway to put the preschool in a new building, but that's going to cost our community about $400,000, and give or take, and that didn't have to happen. Another decision, some small things happened that kind of got me inspired. Our little library here used to be open until 9 o'clock at night. Our great big new library in the wintertime is only open until 7 o'clock. The swims at the swimming pool have been cut twice. This year, the pool is no longer open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we're continually told by the Assembly there's just not the money. However, there was $350,000 in July to give the borough workers a pay raise. And there was $40,000 in June to rebuild the Porcupine Road. Now, the Porcupine Road goes through, goes into the Klaheny River. There's a perfectly good route that goes up the Sunshine Mountain Road to the Porcupine. Now, at the end of the Porcupine Road, there are some TV miners and Constantine, who I think probably had enough wherewithal to fix that road themselves. And now we're looking at a $37 million dock project, harbor project. So I guess, Diana, and a good question was what decisions on the Assembly side inspired me to run. It's a question of are the spending decisions equitable and fair to the community? And I don't think they have been, and that's why I ran.
The small boat harbor expansion has become a divisive topic in the community. What could be done to ease the conflict over the project, if anything? And we'll start with Diana.
I think Brad Ryan is attempting to come to a meeting with the public in the way that his town hall formats are being run now that we're discussing phase two on the harbor, and we would like public input. Phase one was probably done with all of the right intentions, but done wrong. Our code was very vague. We just had it was a number of problems all dovetailing together. Well, phase one is, the bid is out, and they have postponed opening the bids till October 19th. I guess for the new Assembly to agree or disagree to that. But I think by having all the public weigh in on phase two, which is the uplands, which is the aesthetics, and there'll be another meeting about that addressing those issues on the 29th of September with the existing committees that are involved with it. But yeah, we're only as successful as the people driving the Assembly. We're only as successful as you are giving us input. I've heard a lot of comments saying, well, I've elected you, you represent me. I agree. I'm very honored that you have, but I don't know everything. I need guidance, I need steering, I have common sense, and there are much, much more details to every one of our hot-button topics in the borough than what people are just saying here tonight. It's easy to make broad statements, but until you know both sides of the story in detail, then things start making sense of why the Assembly did what they did or they didn't do what you thought they should have. The harbor in phase two needs your input, all of your input. And I really think we're going to have a beautiful harbor front. It's a little scary and people are scared of change, but I believe this will be the change for the good.
Ryan?
She said exactly what I was going to start off with. I think change is good, and it's inevitable. And the Harbor Project is one that is well needed. It's been talked about for 20 years or more. Since I was in high school, they've talked about the boat harbor. I think Brad Ryan's doing a great job with his town meetings that he's doing. I've been to a couple of them. And the second phase, if we're not going to get what we want all in the first phase. Every project comes in phases. If there's not going to be any docks, I think it was Petersburg sat for 5 years or something without floats in it before they found the funding for the floats. But the uplands is where everybody wants to make it look good anyway. You don't want, a float's a float. You tie the boat up to it. Everybody's going to be driving around the parking lot, and you can put in your flowers and your trees and your walkways that you want. But I think it's going to be a great addition to Haines for everybody. The sportsmen, the tourists that use it, the Canadians. The place has been jammed packed this summer. There hasn't been any parking spots for trucks or trailers for half of the people that want to use the harbor. It's been a fight to use the ramp that's existing there. The state they're working with the state to get money to fund a double drive down ramp, and the state's gonna give them allow them to do that without having given a variance for the parking for a double drive down ramp, because you have to have so many parking spots for a single, so many parking spots for a double. They're going to give them a variance and still let them build a double and give them the money, because it's money that goes around the state to build these ramps. And we've been on the list. They just didn't want to put it back in the spot that it was. And this is a great thing. I think everybody in the community just needs to get together and look at the whole waterfront and see how much it actually is used. I've had people come up to me and say they love sitting in front of the boat harbor and watching how active it is. They like sitting there and seeing everybody work. It's a working harbor for everybody. Thanks.
All right, Tom?
Thank you. I don't have a boat in the harbor, and I don't hang out at Lookout Park. I never really felt I had a dog in this fight. But I did raise a point more than a year ago in the newspaper, and that is, why haven't the voters and the taxpayers of the Haines Borough been asked to weigh in on the $37 million project? All the votes on this from the Assembly so far have been 4-2. That's a 4-2 vote. That, to me, represents a reasonable amount of doubt that we could have resolved by taking, and we still can resolve, I believe, by taking directly to the voters. And this is how I propose we do it. As soon as possible, we have an advisory vote, and we put each of the five major elements of that project, yes or no, do you support the steel breakwater, do you support the drive down ramp, and put the prices on there. And at this point, I think we've had enough discussion. I think the opponents have a website, the proponents have most of the borough administration. So we can, I think, have an educated vote on this matter and allow that vote to inform the rest of our decisions on this project. So if something comes in at twice the estimate, we can say, well, the voters didn't really want that anyway. I don't think it's ever too late to ask the voters what they think. And I don't think any honest person is afraid of a vote. That's my feeling.
Leonard?
Yeah, little background. I fished for 30 years. I've been in boat harbors lots. And there is need for more boat harbor here. And I haven't run into one person that hasn't agreed that there's a need. The scope of the project's a question. And anytime that you've got a project out there that they're still going to need another $17 million, I have to agree with Tom. That should be brought for a vote. And I think it should be brought for a vote in stages. So give people a chance to say, okay, what's the maximum amount we want to spend on this? How much do we want the borough citizens to incur in some kind of possible debt in the future above the $19.5 million?
All right, we'll go to Judy.
Yes, I think we can all agree that we need a better boat harbor for the fishing fleet, and I'm one of them. My concern is just the numbers again. They just don't pencil out. I share the concerns of Leonard that, you know, how are we going to find the extra 10 or 12 million, you know, especially when things are going south on the funding and things like that. The advisory boat is a good thing too. When we did the school, I remember sitting in this room with, you know, 30, 40 people, and we hashed out everything, where it was going to be, which direction we were going to add on. I mean, it was an incredible process to go through from start to finish. And that was only $14 million. So that's all. $37 million is a lot of money, and I think the community does need to be more involved. And so if there's any way we can do that, And that's a good idea to do it in phases, I think. So I'm kind of on board with the rest.
Heather?
I agree with Tom and Judy and Leonard, and I especially that we should be voting on the project. I was on the school board when we built the new school, and we voted on that bond. I was on the library board when we built the new library, and we also had to vote on a bond for the library as well. And I think it's great. It was great being involved in both of those projects and knowing that a pretty overwhelming majority of the community in both of those wanted it. And I think that goes back to kind of responsive government. And I don't see why anybody would mind a vote. And I think it's, I guess it's disturbing to me that now the borough leadership or that Diana, now we're saying, oh, everybody can talk about phase two, we can talk about the uplands and, you know, where you want to plant trees or whatever. I think that's a distraction from the bigger issue, which is the price tag of the harbor. It's very expensive. And also the fact that we've been kind of, I feel that we haven't been told the truth on a lot of this. I've been attending a lot of the meetings, and I was actually reading the manager's budget, and the cover letter of the manager's budget in 2017 says, "The boat harbor continues to struggle to raise enough money to pay its operating expenses." And he added $250,000 to help with the harbor this year out of different funds. And I've been at every harbor meeting, and I've been told by the harbor master that the harbor's making money. And so that was a big surprise to me. And we were also told that if we slowed it down in any way, we'd lose the bond. And that turned out not to be true. And so I think it's important to kind of get everybody in one room and hear what's going on, and also to hear what the people think about the harbor. And Ryan, as far as having a harbor for fishermen, I agree completely. My son-in-law is a fisherman. There's a gillnetter in our family. And what I'm concerned about is just that. If the harbor's an enterprise fund and it's not paying for itself now, how's it going to pay for itself when it gets bigger? And the floats, the new floats, don't show up till phase three. And that's a long way out, like millions of dollars out, that I don't think Haines has, and I certainly don't think the state of Alaska has.
Thank you. Haines has experienced a significant amount of turnover in borough leadership. Why do you think that is, and what can be done to retain a borough manager and police chief? And we'll start with Ryan.
Gone through so many of them. I think, I don't know, like this one, as soon as he walked in the door, he wanted to pull money out of the, pull, stop the harbor. He wasn't even here a week. He didn't even know what Haines was about. I mean, I got a phone call. I was fishing. And there, have you heard this? What's going on? He's like, no, I'm out fishing. I'm down Mab Island. And I think they need to find some people that can learn and see to be here before more than a week before they can start making decisions. At least learn the process and see what's been happening around town. I'm not going to say anything about the chief. I don't know who. I haven't even met him. I don't know what he even looks like, I don't think. So the police department, it's the same way, though. It's back and forth. There's a couple of these cops, the newer cops, have been harassing people around town, and it's just not right, and it gets brought up, and nothing's ever done about it. So, that's a big issue. I don't know what to do.
Okay. Judy?
I knew you were going to call on me. Well, I was part of being on the Public Safety Commission. We had to fight for it, but we did get to have input on the police chief, which was kind of funny that we had to kind of force our way into that. At work at the school, I'm on my third boss in 3 years, so I kind of have sympathy for the borough employees and stuff. They're all different. I mean, it's amazing how different they can be in the same position, and you kind of have to just find their strengths and try to build on those, and hopefully convince them, yeah, not to come to town and just try to save us from ourselves. It seems to be what they want to do. They know more. They're from down south. We don't know anything. And they kind of go through that period, and then reality kind of hits them in the face, I think. And so I think that's the period we're in right now. They're trying to figure us out as much as we're trying to figure them out. So for me, I'm still, the jury's still out on most of them, and I try to help them. That's kind of why I want to be here, too, because I have had experience, you know, with Haynes, and I've been through the ringer and come out on the other side, luckily, a few times. And, again, that it just comes back to just trying to help get us through this transition and make good decisions. Thanks.
Heather?
I've actually thought about this because, you know, it's a good idea to come up with some sort of solutions. I think part of it is finding people, if we could, even people that already have lived here part-time or maybe you're local on some level. If that doesn't work, I keep wondering why when we were hiring both the manager and the police chief, we didn't form committees of people in town who are either former managers or administrators. There's a couple of those that live in Haynes, as well as former mayors. There's several of those that would have a pretty good insight as to what the job was and the type of person that might be good at it. You know, put them on that committee. The same with the chief. We've got, you know, our former police chief still lives here. I mean, Greg Goodman is here, and we have a public safety commission, and we have lots of retired law enforcement that live in Haynes. I mean, I'm thinking Jim Shook and Jerry Ernie and Ike Lorenz. There's people around that probably have a real good insight into what the job would entail in Haynes and the kind of person that would be good at it. And why not use them? Because certainly hiring firstmen, you know, that didn't go so well. And as Diana points out, we don't have much money, and to spend $38,000 on a headhunting firm that, gosh, I mean, one of their candidates was unfit, and we found out because someone at the newspaper Googled him. And I thought, well, I bet somebody in Haynes could have done that for a lot less money. So, and I know it's hard, and it's easy to sort of say that, but really, I mean, I think we could maybe do better if we looked a little closer to home for either the candidates or for the expertise in hiring someone to fit Haynes, because we're a kind of community that requires a certain Haynes expertise, not just a professional expertise.
Tom?
Well, I'm going to break it in half, because I think the manager job and the police chief job are very different. I think for manager, our mistake was we hired Firstman, who was a company from Minnesota, over Prothman, who's another recruiting firm, and by the way, I do support hiring these outside firms just because of the dismal failure of when we have previously hired by ourselves. So I think they've got to be better than we've done previously. Anyway, Prothman's bid was $3,000 more than Firstman's. Prothman, the recruiting firm Prothman, had successfully landed these executive-level jobs all over Alaska in the past. I think that was a mistake to save $3,000 and get a second-rate recruiting firm. Obviously, if you look back in the history, our best managers are guys who were who were municipal managers in Alaska previous to taking the job here. So Heather's right. Look at Tom Healy, Bob Ward. These guys had done the job. They knew Alaska. They knew the issues. In terms of police chief, I'm not sure that I just think we're over-policed. Back until the early 80s, as far as I know, we had one policeman for this town. I think what I would do is get rid of most of those minor offenses, knock down the police force to two or three guys that can actually solve a crime, and stop putting an emphasis on like this big city force that we don't need. We don't need a $100,000 or even a $90,000 chief, in my estimation. We're no longer a brawling mill town. We're mostly artists and retirees. They don't pose that much of a threat. What's our biggest crime? Breaking into the library? If we had real criminals in this town, they'd be breaking into the bank. You know, I think that we just should get real about the level of crime we have in this town. Sure, there's probably some drug users. There might be some meth users. But that's mostly, about treatment and education. We don't have a level of crime commensurate with the level of police force that we have. Thank you.
Leonard?
Yeah, I think the first thing we should have is local hire, or as close to local hire as we can get. As far as the manager goes, when I saw four people vote to fire Venables, the only manager that we had ever here that was local, I thought maybe we should go back to a strong mayor form of government with a city administrator. We would have a steadier hand on government. We've been turning over managers just about as fast as they get to know us. They leave, and most of the time we're happy to see them leave. So I'm not convinced that a manager form of government is a good government for us. And as far as hiring a chief, I can't even imagine hiring a chief out of D.C. for Haines, Alaska. And I agree with Tom. We don't need anywhere near the size police department we have, nor the expense that we're putting into it. You know, everybody says, we got drugs here. Well, never see anybody get arrested for drugs. I don't see what's being accomplished by this bloated police force.
Diana?
I'm thinking very carefully. Yeah. Because what I've heard, and it's not what you expect, what I've heard is comments in the hindsight. Because every one of these comments are after the fact, after we've lost managers or we have had to ask our police chief to resign or quit or whatever the case may be. But none of you have ever been in that seat, except maybe you, Norm, where you've had to hire someone to fit the bill. I was reading Sitka's losing their manager, Mark Gorman. The average life of a city manager is 2.5 years. And so because Haines is the size that it is and we seem to go through managers, it's not because Haines is eating the managers. Every one of the managers have left for a reason. Not because any of the public has driven him out of Haines. As far as the police chief is concerned, why we keep rolling over on policemen is we're wearing them out. It depends on you, the public, what you want. 24/7 coverage, or do you want 12-hour coverage, or you want 6-hour coverage? It's going to depend upon the size of our police force. We have guys that are working, that are off, that work nights, that are gone for training, that are at the academy. It's a multitude of ever-ending rotation with the policemen that we have down there right now. We've had one that's been gone for 5 weeks, both with a vacation and training. But our police force is busy. I'm looking to Chief Scott. He's been a breath of fresh air from what I can see. He has come forward and he has point blankly told us where our deficits are, what we have to do, what we should do, and how we should do it. And he's trying to find the grants and the means and the ways to do it. It's, you know, I hear all these criticisms, but I hear no solutions. I don't hear anyone coming forward with ideas of how to help. And how to help in our small community, Haines, being the backbone community that it is, we need your help. You've got good ideas just like we do. Do you think because we sit on the assembly we know it all? We don't. As far as ideas and having a more comfortable meeting environment, that's what we're striving for too.
Thank you. If Constantine Metal Resources mineral exploration were to move into the mine permitting phase, what role should the assembly play? And let's start with Heather.
Wow, I haven't actually thought that it was that close to that question yet. I know the exploration phase is ongoing. I think the job that the assembly should probably play, or the role the assembly should have, is one that hears, again, from the people in Haines about their concerns, about what specifically they would like to see the mine do or not do. I think the one thing that the assembly should probably safeguard above all else would be the Chilkat River and the fisheries that are there. I think that should be something that we make sure that isn't harmed in any way. And I think that Constantine would agree with me on that. And I think after that, hopefully by the time we got to the point where they were actually mining, we would have already had a lot of community discussions about how it was going to go and what people here wanted. And again, I guess I would use my same guidelines. Is what's proposed good for the community? Is it what people want? And are the things that we may need to do to make that happen affordable? So I would, again, I don't think it'd be up to the assembly so much as it would be to the community to guide the assembly on what's important to them and how we go from there. And there's obviously there would be issues should the mine happen of infrastructure. We'd probably have to make sure the sewer and water plant worked a little better and the LUTAC dock was up to snuff and some of those things that might accelerate that. But again, I would think that would already happen by the time if a mine actually happened in Haines.
Leonard?
Well, the thing is, it's really hard for the Haines to do a lot because the permitting process is involved at the state level. I think the most we can do is to be aware of what's going on and keep up on it so that, and also be cautious and watch the permitting process to make sure that it's actually being followed and that there's no shortcuts. But it still is a state process. There's state laws, and that's where it needs. I don't see what we can do different other than just get radically political, and I don't think that's a good thing. This should be based on what's it going to do to the environment.
Ryan?
Can you repeat the question?
If Constantine Mineral Resources mineral exploration were to move into the mine permitting phase, what role should the assembly play?
So if it was just rolling into the mine permitting stage and not already a mine, a lot of it is to watch the permit, that permit process, like Leonard said, through the state, because it is, but and that permit process is really regulated through the state for to turn it into a mine. Also, like Heather said, to make sure that the river and everything is protected. I don't know how far the borough would go into that, being Dowa and the big, big company going to be running it, probably most likely. And I think they just need to, if it does go that far and goes into a mine permitting stage and going to be a mine, I think the assembly needs to sit back and look at like all the other infrastructure of Haynes, if it's ready to take on that big amount of people, garbage, water, sewer, housing. Housing's going to be a big issue. Like already right now, it costs just as much to try to rent a place here as it does in Juneau. I can go to Juneau and rent a house just as much as I can rent one here anymore. I don't know where that jump came from, but if a mine comes, there's going to be a lot of housing needed. I think that's more where the borough would need to look.
And just make sure to move the microphone a little bit closer to you when you answer questions.
Sorry.
Thanks. Diana?
I think we're a ways away from the mine permitting process for that to become an actual mine. But aside from all that, I think the assembly's role is to constantly be on top of good education, make sure our community has the education, is aware of what's going on, the real facts and figures. And we have an issue with things getting blown out of proportion. And it's done easily. It's human nature, and you can't fault anybody. But we need to be on top of that. We need to be making sure that the education is given out properly. And by doing that, we can be collaborative with Constantine.
Judy?
Well, I don't have much more to say than everybody else has. It is the state processing, permit processing. I think the education component is good, whether you're for or against the mine, to know the facts and what's happening out there is always a good thing. As I think of education, there might be some opportunities there to train some of our local kids if it were to ever get to that point. That could be something that the borough could do through, you know, education or vocational or, there's just those kind of possibilities. But, I've just been told it's a long way off, so I haven't gone to that next stage yet.
Tom?
Yes, I think what usually happens before the mine seeks a permit is that it issues a mine plan. And in the mine plan, the company lays out what it plans to do and how it plans to deal with its waste rock and what other infrastructure it needs. And so I think the first step the borough would take would be to study the mine plan and to see if that and to disseminate that information in the community, and then have a community discussion if that mine plan meets what locals want to have in a mine here. Certainly, you know, the acid rock drainage is probably, and the possible effect on the fisheries is the number one concern, but there are other concerns as well. The borough recently assumed responsibility for the bridge across the Klahini River at 26 mile, and so if that bridge takes a beating, what other costs might the borough incur to on our roads for the mine to set up? We need to look at those things, and then finally, I would ask, if I was on the assembly, for an advisory vote to see if, just again, to take the pulse of the community to see if they support the mine as planned, you know, similar to the boat harbor. And if the community says yes, I would also seek a severance tax. And a severance tax is typically applied to mines, and it goes on outfits that come in and take a wealth out that's only a one-time hit for your community. So, and that severance tax could help pay for some of the borough's infrastructure costs if the mine were to go forward. It's a pretty common taxation device by municipalities to cover the associated costs with development, particularly of mines. Thank you.